Good morning once again.
Good morning.
Yeah. As I told you last week, you know, we will be just looking at the book of Jonah. Jonah is a wonderful book. As I told you, the great theologian by the name of Ferguson said, you know, we begin to see the character of God in this book, particular book, because when a person goes through painful experiences in his life, right, when we go through a difficult or even challenging moments in our life, we begin to see the character of God. And so Jonah is a minor prophet, right? Like Habakkuk and all that. And God reveals his character about who he is and who God can do the things in our life too. And so I would challenge you, right, you know, throughout a few weeks, I'll be just working on this particular book to see, you know, to see God's nature, God's character. At the same time, what is God expecting in our life? Because Jonah was also given a call, right? He was seen as a disobedient prophet initially, but at the same time, God is always after him, right? God has never given up on Jonah. He was just coming after him. And similarly, I believe, you know, God is always after us, because we have said, Lord, I love you, right? We gave ourselves to him through baptism and said, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I just want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is always after us. And so the book of Jonah is a powerful reminder. And also, if you realize, I told you last week, you know, the second part of our church theme is serving, or stronger serving together, right? I think when we are together as a church, not only the English congregation, but even together with our brothers and sisters in the Cantonese side, also people in our kids, in our children's ministry, when the more, you know, we are much more stronger, right? I think we are much more able to do the things that actually what God wants us to do. And so in that way, I'll try to see, you know, how can we serve? You know, many times we want to be, you know, just running away from God like Jonah. Like whenever you think of the prophet who runs away, we think of Jonah. But when I was just reading this passage again and again, as I was just working on my sermon, I realized, you know, I don't want to be hard on Jonah. Because there are moments in my life too that I run away, right? Not in terms of location, but there are moments in my life I just run away from God. I don't want to be sensitive to the presence of God. I don't want God to be in my equation of life, right? Or even certain decisions in my life. And so, and Jonah was similar, like that. You know, he was just running away from God. You know, but you might be wondering, you know, I'm just looking at them because I'm also waiting for my PowerPoint. It's not responding. Okay. Like Enoch said, you know, even though there's a tech problem, but Lord, we still worship you, right? And so even there's tech problem, we will still look at God's word. And so the theme today, which I have taken, is Jonah runs and God pursues. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have not given up on us, Father. There are moments we feel like running away from you. There are moments, oh God, we don't want to be sensitive to your presence. We just don't want to lean on you for guidance. We want to lean on in our own experience or even our intelligence, oh God. Father, help us to know that your help is always available. And help us, Lord, to draw from you all the strength that we need to live a life that just pleases you, the life that glorifies you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, finally the slide is up. So Jonah runs and God pursues him. Just to give you, you know, in terms of the background, you know, I think all of us know the story of Jonah. Am I right? Yes, yes. Talk to me.
No.
No. Oh, okay. There is a no here. Yes, okay. That's good. Okay. Jonah is a minor prophet. It's just a minor prophet. It was very sincere to God, if you realize. When God called him in 2 Kings, you will realize that when God called him and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Israel, to my people, right? Bring the good news that I'm going to bless them. And so Jonah was so excited because it's a message of blessing. It's a good news, right? You want to bring good news. And so Jonah goes to his people and says, you know, the Lord wants to bless you. And so, you know, people were so excited because this prophet, this voice of God was there just saying that God's blessings is upon them. And so things were wonderful when God was just asking Jonah to do good things, easy things, bring the message of hope, message of blessing. But then if you realize the passage that we are going to speak or the book that we are going to emphasize, it's about God who's calling him and saying, you know, Jonah, I want you to do another thing. It's not easy. It's a hard thing. It's a challenging thing. It's a tough thing. It's a message of judgment. Can you imagine bringing good news? People want to hear good news today. Buy one, get one, kind of a good news, right? And 30 days return policy. We want good news. And so God says, you know, bring a message of judgment to the people of Nineveh. They were Gentile people, right? And so in those days, the Jews always didn't like the Gentiles. And so God was saying, you know, Jonah, I want you to go to the Gentile people. Jonah was upset because I think, now why should I go to these Gentile people? They don't look like us. They don't think like us. They don't share our own culture. You know, we hate them because they have been bad to us. They are our enemies. Why should I bring good news to people who hate us, who have actually come upon us in terms of war? So I think Jonah runs away from God. Right? He runs away. He's thinking that he can just escape from God. But he realizes, he doesn't realize that, you know, the Lord's presence is everywhere. He knows, the Bible says that the Lord knows our thoughts from far. The Word of God also says that even before I utter any word, the Lord knows what I'm about to say. He forgot about a God who knows everything that happens to me. And so, Jonah is running away. Can you imagine a prophet running away, a man of God, a person who was a chosen vessel, a mouthpiece of God, right? He's just running away from the presence of God. And I was asking myself, you know, and I don't want to be hard on Jonah, right? Whenever we think of doubting a disciple, we think of Thomas, right? As if we never doubt in our Christian life. When we think of a prophet who runs away, we think of Jonah as if we don't run away from God. So when I was just working on this particular sermon, I realized, you know, there are moments in my life too that I run away. Because when I don't invite Christ into my decision making, when I don't invite him in my life, right? Even when I'm doing certain things in my life, if I don't say, Lord, I need your help, I need your guidance, I'm actually running away. Right? If I'm not doing what God wants me to do, I'm like Jonah running away. It doesn't mean that I'm just running away to another country, my friend. You know, the slightest disobedience to God's word is running away. And so, we are like Jonah, right? And I believe that when we became Christians, God has actually given us a call, right? Not only to just keep the joy in our lives, the message of love in our lives, he wants us to share. And he has given us numerous opportunities to share. But what happens, I think people, you know, many love to postpone. I'll do it tomorrow. Right, I'll do it tomorrow. And so I think Jonah and ourselves, you know, when we look at it, I think we are the same. And so I was asking myself, you know, what's happening? It's why is he running away? Why am I running away? Why do we run away? Right? And so three things actually came from this particular passage when I was just working on it. The first thing, you know, if you realize, hello, yes, yeah. Good. The first thing is that Jonah did not understand God's heart. You know, when I was looking, the more I look at this particular passage, you know, I saw two things, right, in terms of the division of the heart. A heart that is motivated by God and a heart that actually is motivated by self. Can you imagine? Right? A heart can be motivated by God. Today, you and I can be motivated by God who loves us. And we say, you know, God has motivated me to do this. There can be another kind of a heart, right? And that actually is self-motivated. In other words, you know, I want to do the things which I want to do. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I just want to be on self-reliance. I want to be just doing the things based on, you know, what I think, what I perceive. So Jonah was not, he was just running away because his heart was not motivated by God. He knew the call of God. He knew the message of God, that God wants him to go to the city of Nineveh. But his heart was not motivated by God, but his heart was motivated by himself. That's why he was just running away from God, my friend. I think today we tend to struggle, right? We tend to struggle. Yes, we have one heart, but it is either motivated by God or it is motivated by self. At this particular moment, Jonah's heart was not motivated by God because he knew the call of God. He knew very well that this Redeemer is talking to me. He knew, but his heart was not motivated. Have you been there? You know God's call. You know God, what he desires in our life. He knows, you know, even what kind of school you should be going or what kind of subjects or courses you need to take or programs or the workplace you need to go. You know pretty well what God is trying to lead you. But Jonah, he knew pretty well, but he was just running away from God because his heart was not motivated. His heart was motivated by self. It's about me. It's about my safety. It's about, you know, my life. I think that's what's happening in this particular text. So Jonah did not understand God's heart. You know, probably he was motivated by himself. You know, when I look at this particular text, you know, I'll just move on with my points. Right? I realize, I think, what is the heart of God? At least in this particular text, I see God's heart. God's heart seeks holiness, right? Because it says in this word, it says, because the wickedness of Nineveh came to the Lord. The Lord's heart seeks holiness. And God cannot stand when sin is around. Why was the Lord, you know, when he saw Nineveh, you know, his heart was motivated because he saw the wickedness of people. And not only that, I think the Lord cannot stand sin because he is a righteous God, he is a holy God, and the Lord always wanted holiness in our life. And when he looks at Nineveh, he was just looking at evil, he was looking at wickedness, because if you look at, you know, scriptures very clearly, you know, that was the lifestyle of the people in Nineveh. They were not only they were rich, but you know, their lives were immoral. You know, they were just worshipping other gods and they were just bullying other nations. They were just making fun of other nations. But you know, even though it was a great city, but their wickedness came to the Lord. And I think God cannot stand sin. God cannot stand sin. I think last week I was also pointing to this particular point, you know. Today, sin doesn't make any difference, right? When we know that someone, you know, is not living a life which is expected, or who's living a life contrary to the word of God, it doesn't make any difference in our life, right? We begin to say, you know, that's their problem, right? Yes, I know the person pretty well, you know, but I just don't want to go into their private life. You know, I don't want to be dealing with this. I don't want to be seen helping, and I don't want to be seen as a righteous person. You know, I don't want to. It's their life. They know what they are doing, you know, and probably they did not have an opportunity to hear from someone that this is not acceptable in the sight of God, right? I think today we live in a world where we can tolerate sin, right? We can tolerate evilness. We can tolerate injustice. And that was happening, right, in those days. But God's heart is totally different. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot see sin. When he sees sins, he sends his son, my friend. He sends the prophet. You know, he wants to die on the cross for us. That's the God that we worship. And Jonah did not understand the God of Nineveh. If you read Psalm 5, verse 4, you know, the writer of this particular psalm says, "No evil dwells in you, Lord." And so, it's a powerful thing that nothing evil is found in the presence of God, and the Lord cannot see sin. For Jonah, that was fine, right? That's fine. That's particular Gentile city. They are just going against God. I'm not bothered about their life. That's fine. But for God, it is not fine because it's sin. It's wickedness. It's evil. Because this God is a holy God. This God is a righteous God. Dear friends, I think we need to be praying and saying, "Lord, I want to have your heart, O God. When I see sin in my fellow brothers, Lord, I want to be disturbed. Not only I want to pray for them, Lord, I want to just reach out to them and to see how through your love, through your compassion, Lord, through your strength, to just bring them back into the Christian fellowship of the fold. I don't want to be indifferent, Lord. I want to have your heart." As I told you, you know, I think we need to be very careful when you do that also, right? Because you can sound very judgmental, you know. Pray for the person, right? Find an opportunity. Let there be love in your words, compassion, right? And when you reach out, let me tell you, you know, people will start hearing you. And Jonah did not understand God's heart. God's heart doesn't entertain. And so I think our desire should be, you know, "Lord, use me." Right? The second thing, if you look at the slides, you know, it will say, Jonah did not understand God's plan. He did not understand, you know, what was God's plan for our lives. You know, Jonah thought, he thought, you know, "God wants me to do this." And so he felt, you know, "Why should I be doing this?" But he doesn't realize that, no, God has a different plan, right? It's not just bringing a message of condemnation, a message of judgment, but I think God has a greater plan. Because God's plan is that you and I should be part of the plan of salvation. In other words, you know, we should be coming not only into a salvation, but I think continuing to live a life for the Lord and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jonah didn't understand the plan of God, that he wants to save his people. He wants to redeem the people. I think that's God's desire, and that is God's plan, right? God's plan is not just to save us. I don't think so, right? Not only that, I think God wants us to be like him, right? It's not just, you know, "I've saved Vincent, you know, I'm fine. Now his life is up to him." No. I think God's plan is much more greater, right? He wants to save us. At the same time, he wants us to, you know, live a life that we will belong to the Redeemer. And that's why Paul was very careful when he uses this word. If you read Paul's writing, you know, Paul says, you know, "I am bought with a price," right? I'm bought with a price. And so, and Paul says in that verse, he says, you know, "I'm bought with a price, and so I belong to him." And so two things in Paul is mentioning. He says that Christ becomes my dwelling place, right? He is dwelling in my life, right? We are bought with a price. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul says, "We are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Right? Jonah didn't understand, right? He thought, you know, God wanted me to bring a message. It was not just a message of condemnation or judgment. God's greater plan, that they should be part of the greater plan of God, that they should be, you know, living a life for him. So my friend, today you and I, yes, we are saved, we get baptized, that's wonderful. That's just a part of God's plan. That's not the full plan of God. The full plan of God is, you know, that we should become the dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, each and every day, the presence of God fills me. I have the presence of God in my life. Every Christian should be saying, you know, I need not seek God's presence because He's in me. His presence is in my life. And that's what Paul is saying. We are born with a price. I've already been born. I belong to Him. Right? In other words, He becomes my God, and He is just dwelling in my life. And that is God's greater plan, my friend. Just not salvation alone, but He wants to live in us. He wants to dwell in our lives. So that secondly, that we will glorify God, that you know, through our words and through our deeds, you know, we will be just glorifying God every moment of our life. Salvation is wonderful. Getting baptized is wonderful. Becoming a member of the church is wonderful. But let's not stop there. We should be having God's presence in our life, my friend. If not, let me tell you, we are like Jonah running away. If the presence of God is not dwelling in my life, then I am no different than Jonah. I'm just running away. If my life doesn't glorify God or honor God, I am no different than Jonah. And that is God's greater plan. Jonah did not understand the plan of God. It's not just saving Nineveh. It's not just bringing the message of redemption or the message of judgment. It is more than that. It is more so that they too will become a dwelling place for the Lord Jesus Christ. They too will be living a life for Christ and for Christ alone. And let me finish with this, the third one. Jonah did not share God's heart of grace. Right? You know, when I was reading the entire book of Jonah, if you realize in chapter 3 and 4, Jonah is very upset with God. Right? He's telling God, you know, I know about you. You are a merciful God. Right? You're a God who's full of compassion. So in other words, he knows this God is a God of grace, a God of compassion, a God is so loving. You know, Lord, I know about you that you will show compassion. You know, and so Jonah is not saying with joy. Jonah is very upset with God and saying, Lord, I know that you are a God of compassion. You know, I don't like. So Jonah does not understand the heart, or doesn't have the heart of God, or the heart of grace, because you know, God always wants to give us an opportunity to change. I always believe that our God is a God of the second chance. He wants us to change. God could have easily destroyed the city of Nineveh, a Gentile nation just doing a lot of corrupt things. But God wants to give an opportunity to change. And that's the God of grace. Even though there was a message of, you know, condemnation, but there was a heart of grace there. And so that's why Jonah was very upset with God. He says, you know, I know you will do this. I'm upset with you because I know you're merciful. So Jonah wants God not to be merciful. He wants God to show his anger, his wrath. He failed to realize that God gives us opportunity, my friend. God has given us opportunity. But there will be a time will come, there will be no more opportunity. Right? The opportunity will be taken away from us. And so, always remember, I think, we are sons and daughters of grace. And so, sometimes when we reach out to some people, you know, sometimes you don't see that they are changing. Don't give up hope. Maybe pray more, right? Pray more for the particular person. Right? Sometimes we give up and say, no, Pastor Vincent, I've been trying to reach out to this particular person, but looks like the person is totally indifferent. Just remember the God of grace, right? He could have easily destroyed Nineveh and said, but the Lord gave them another opportunity. Don't give up so soon. If you're working with someone, ministering to someone, just encouraging them, someone, if you realize they're very indifferent, don't just give up, my friend. just ask, pray harder. Pray harder. Seek God's presence. Let me tell you, the Lord is a God of second chances. Right? And so always remember that, you know, our God is a God of grace. Let me finish, right? Are you running away from God? I was asking this question, you know, I always try to ask this question before I ask the congregation. Are you running away from God? Maybe not in terms of location, but, you know, sometimes we might run away from God because when I look at scriptures, you know, sometimes we run away from God by just like Peter. If you read Matthew 26:58, it says, Peter followed him from far, right? He was just following Jesus from far when Jesus was going through, you know, the suffering period and all that. He knew Jesus, that he will be tried, he will be questioned, and then he was just following from far. We are here, wonderful, but sometimes we need to self ourselves. Am I a distant Christian? I know Jesus. I know what he expects. I know his teaching pretty well. I know what God wants me to do in a situation like this. I know. That's it. Right? I know, but I want to be a distant Christian. Like Peter, I know my Savior is suffering. I know he's all alone. He needs me. I know his call. You know, but I do not know him. Can you imagine? Sometimes I think in Christian life, sometimes we are tempted to live like that. We know about Christ. We know what God expects, right? We know his teaching. We know about grace. We know about mercy. We know about compassion. We know. But Lord, I just know. But I want to be like Peter, distant following. I don't want to be near, because if I become too close to you, then, you know, I have to be like you. But I know, but I want to be a distant follower. So sometimes I call it a self-preservation walk. In other words, you want to preserve yourself. Right? As I told you, God's plan is that we become his dwelling place, period. Not self-preservation walk. He wants to be dwelling in our lives, my friend, 24/7, 7 days a week. So the safest walk is to be near God. That's why James also says, like, draw near to God and he also draw near to you. And then, are we running away? But secondly, I realize sometimes we want to preserve our lives by running away. You know, for a moment when Jonah was running away, he thought by running away, he was actually saving his life. But then he forgot to realize he was actually losing his life. But running away, right, he was not saving. He thought he was saving his life, right? But, you know, my friend, you know, when we run away from God, we are not gaining anything. We are losing. We are losing God's plan for our lives. Jonah thought, by running away, I will save myself. By buying a ticket and going to Joppa, I'm saving myself. No, Jonah, you are losing. You are losing God's desire, God's plan in your life. God has a different purpose for you. And many a times we think, Lord, I'm running away. But by running away, we are losing God's plan in our life, my friend. You know, we cannot run away and we shouldn't run away. Because by running away, you are losing what God wants to do in your life and also through your life. Because God wants to do much more greater thing. Jonah thought he was running away, right? By running away, I'm saving my life. But no, by running away, you're actually losing your life. Secondly, you know, are we running away from God? We might disobey God in small things, right? Sometimes, you know, we, in our lives, we say, you know, this is small, this is respectable sins. There are sins which are respectable sins. So this is small. It's okay, Lord. You know, I obey you, but these things, you know, it's, you know, I these are small things, right? It's okay, right? I know you don't like, but that's fine, you know. I know, Lord, it's a respectable sin, Lord, because I also want to have still be human kind of a thing. But, you know, sometimes, or many a times, you know, we feel, you know, God will just close an eye to that small sin. I did not murder. I did not commit adultery. Right? I did not swindle another person's property. Those are great sins. So a small thing, right? It's okay. I think it's okay with the Lord. It's nothing is okay with Jesus, my friend. Because even a small thing can hinder us from entering the kingdom of God. So even when we are not obedient to small things, we can be like Jonah, running away. Running away from the presence of God. Let me finish with the good news. Right? The good news is God can and does pursue those who flee from Him. In other words, God has not given up on us, my friend. You know, when I was reading on this particular passage, I was just telling God, Lord, you know, thank you. Because I know that even though I want to give up on you, right, you are not going to give up on me. You'll still come after me. Right? Can you imagine? This God is still coming after me. Right? Just He's using every forces of nature or even every people, right? Just to bring me back, to love Him, to just enjoy His presence. I know sometimes, you know, in our Christian walk, some of our Christian friends will come and talk to us and we become very, very irritable, right? Yes, I know. But it doesn't mean, you know, that it also means that, you know, the Lord wants us. He's just coming after us. And so that's the good news. God has not given up. Maybe people have given up on you, right? Maybe your friend circle or the circle of friends have become much more slimmer. But God has not given up on Jonah. He could have easily called for another Jonah, but no. The Lord was using nature. He was using the fish, right? He wanted Jonah, and I'm not going to give up on him. And the Lord will never give up on us. Secondly, you know, lastly, I think Jesus came. And you know, Jesus is always seen as the second Jonah. I thank God for Jesus because Jesus came, He did not run away. Things were becoming much more tougher for him. Even his own town did not receive him. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the teachers of the law, were just totally against him. Can you imagine? Peter was the closest friend of Jesus, said, I do not know him. But he came to serve, to love us, to give his life for us. And Jesus is always seen as Jonah. Do you know why? One of the reasons is, because Jonah went to the Jews first and then he went to the Gentiles. Jesus came to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. Right? And Jonah was in the sea, was in the belly of the big fish for 3 days. And similarly, Jesus was buried for 3 days. That's the good news, my friend. And the Lord loves us so much. He came, He did not run away. He could have said, you know, I don't want to save the people in NCAC, but He loves us so much. He was willing to take all the pain, the suffering, right? Because He loves us so much, my friend. He has never given up on us. And let me challenge you, don't give up on God. Never give up on Him. And let it be our prayer, Lord, I want to have Your heart, O God. I want to have Your heart. Lord, let me not just look at things the way people look at it, but I want to see from Your heart, O God. I want to see the greater plan of Jesus, the greater plan of salvation. Lord, I want to be graceful because You are so loving. Even I've forgotten You many times, Lord. Your love has always been just after me. I want to be like Jesus. Imagine a God creator of this world. Who could have easily said, you know, I've tried numerous times to bring you back, but you have not. But he says, I still am coming after you. Dear friends, I think the Lord has not given up on us. Maybe you have given up yourself and said, you know, I can't, Lord. I can't live this life for you. Lord, it's difficult to be a Christian. It's difficult to share your word. Lord, it's a struggle for me, but the Lord says, no, but I don't want to give up. It can be a struggle for me, but I'm still. I'll use whatever forces that needs to be used. Not only to love you, not only to bring you back into my fold, because I have a greater plan for you. I want to dwell in your life. I want to use you to glorify me, that people will know the Redeemer in your life. Oh God, we thank you for Jesus. We are here because of him, oh God. There were moments, oh God, we were just running away from you, living a distant Christian life, oh God. We know, but our lives were different. Thank you, Lord, that you have not given up on us. And so, Lord, we pray that we will also have your heart, Father. Help us, O Lord, not to give up on our friends. Help us, O Lord, to pray for them, to love them, and to reach out to them, O Father. Help us, O Lord, in our church, O God, Lord, not to give up on our fellow brothers and sisters who might be just living a different life altogether. Help us, O Lord, to just pray harder, much more harder, God. And help us, O Lord, to befriend them again. Just go after them as you did for us. We just love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.